The Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. The WhatsApp message says, Mr. Johnson, I'm a concerned parent of UWI. Students are experiencing registration issues and not having clarity as employees are working from home and telephone communication is nil. Please ask the UWI to assist with these distressed students. I'm reading the message, but again, I'm unsure what we're supposed to do, because if the employees are working from home and telecommunication is nil, asking the UWI, whoever that is, to assist by doing what? By calling me, by putting out the information, by calling you. I find it strange, again, I say strange, and that we have institutions who pay corporate communication specialists. And I know the one at UWI, unless he's no longer there. Charleston, good afternoon to you. If it's no longer you, please accept my apologies. If you have issues with reaching people, you know, via telephone, website, there must be some method set up to reach the particular person you want, to see what the particular query is, to see how they can be of assistance. A general comment about issues, who's supposed to respond? Unless, you know, we can zero in on what we need assistance with. I like, as far as possible, to be able to help people, but I need to know what it is we're trying to fix. On the Blackmon Gollop issue, before I go to that one, someone sent me a note that shows children under 5 are not required to wear a mask, and it is from an official document, and I thank you very much for doing so. This is what I like about Brass Tacks when it's like that. 43 pictures of the food from Blackmon Gollop and 3 full meals a day. Thank you very much for that as well. And someone sent me an entire readout of the things available at Blackmon Gollop, and that it was a purpose-built facility. I really should look at it since it's one of the places that will be used, I think, as hurricane shelters and other things. It's a good step that we have that. The St. Peter Hospital has come in for some queries, and I've responded to those persons by saying, the hospital need more healthcare than some of the people who need healthcare. And someone says, I work in the health sector. When I work at night, my husband has to drop me off to work and pick me up. My frustration is that my workplace is refusing to issue a letter for my husband to be on the road during lockdown hours. Now, the last time or the first time we had the lockdown, back in the original days, people in essential services, including those of us in the media who needed to be out at odd times, were given passes. I questioned the issuing of passes under the second lockdown curfew. I was told it was a late decision, spur of the moment. It was being worked on. I still don't have one, but I'm quite happy to not be on the road even after 6 o'clock, far less 9 o'clock. So the youngsters like John and the other Johnson, David, and the other David, well, if they have, then they'll attend to the matters. Oh, and Ronnie, I'm an elderly citizen. I'll keep off the road. Again, that's tongue-in-cheek, okay? Here we go. My release document. This is the one I was looking for. This is proof I was there. I was at Harrison Point for 2 days, 8 days at Blackmon and Gollop. You get breakfast. If you want tea, you have to make it. There's a room upstairs at both facilities for that. You get breakfast at 7 or 8, lunch at 12 or 1, supper at 5 or 6. At St. Lucie, TV, board games, table tennis board, Blackmon and Gollop, TV room, dominoes, card games. You can also go outside at both facilities and walk around, even exercise. My thing is that some people act as if they're at home. Upon admission, they ask you to fill out a form to state what you eat or don't eat. Some days you get rice and chicken, lamb or beef stew, macaroni pie, cream potato, all come with vegetables and meat. If you're on a special diet, you're served first. Special diet is low-salt persons with food preferences. I would admit sometimes they get it wrong, but once brought to their attention, they correct it. They also provided for vegans that are there when I was there. So, that's the good part about Down to Brass Tacks. You get responses from persons who have been there and who actually show you to prove that they were there. And this last one says, I would like to know if the school monitors will be paid for the month of December and what's going to happen to us job-wise. Minister of Labor, Ministry of Education, who your employer should be able to assist you with that. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
You still there?
I'm with you, if you're with me.
Good afternoon again, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir, you stayed. Not so there you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you were saying.
Appreciate that very much. I want to go through a little thing here with you, and then in the end, maybe we'll talk, if you have the time, about the coronavirus, because and link to that. It's better to take a risk now than to always live in fear. And in Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear man, no matter what he may do unto me. And then I want to say something, no, after I say that. One simply cannot live without taking risks. Woven in every aspect of the daily life is risk. To laugh is a risk. To laugh is a risk of appearing a fool. To weep is a risk of appearing sentimental. To reach out to others is a risk of involvement. To expose feeling is a risk of exposing your true self. To place your ideas, your dreams before the crowd is a risk of losing them. To love is a risk of being not loved in return. To live is risk of dying. We're not ready to live on all that risk there. To live, to hope is a risk of despair. To try at all is a risk to fail. Even so, the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. Because person who risks nothing, and this is the important thing, accomplish nothing, has nothing, feels nothing, and in the end, becomes nothing. Don't be afraid to take calculated risks. Risk is essential for growth in every area of life. Now, I read all that because I want to say something quick about coronavirus. We all want to get rid of this coronavirus, and we all know that if we love our people more than we love ourselves, if you love your children, your friends, more than you love yourself, this coronavirus will go, you know. Because you will not take risks to carry home to your family or to mix with your friends if you really love your family. You will not risk moving a mask on your face, being too close to the guy you met an hour ago but don't know where he went if in that hour. In other words, you will continue to secure yourself so that your family will not take no risks as a result of you making mistakes. And I want to say something else too. Coronavirus will be conquered in Barbados. We will win against coronavirus, providing we really want to live. If you want to live, you have to prepare to protect other people wherever possible from dying. And if each of us prepare to protect others from dying, we will be protected automatically. I want to say that because I know that this coronavirus is getting a little dangerous in Barbados, but I guarantee you, Mr. Johnson, I just hear you saying on the radio that you are not a younger fellow, so you don't be on the road late. No, sometimes I have to be on the road late, but not because of age, because that's what my work is called.
Because of necessity. So mine too, you know, but if I'm having difficulties seeing, I prefer not to be on the road because of what you just say. I don't want to endanger anybody's life. Call one of my children and say, come drive me if I can't drive, you know. And they should be able to do that for me. After all, I drive them around when they can drive.
I want to say this funnily. Now this coronavirus has created so much problem in the tourist sector and so much people don't know what to do and a lot of people in serious economic problems. I think it's time enough that workers mobilize and take a risk of telling management this ain't going to happen again. Anytime we have a crisis like this, we are going to be some partners in the business so we can share in some of the success. We might not be getting a dollar, but we surely will get 50 cents. I think the workers of Barbados now have to take the risk, and the union have to get with them and mobilize them and demand part ownership in these businesses because the people who are really suffering the most in this coronavirus are the workers of this country. They have to take the most risks. They have to sit down in many buses and Zetas and other buses and don't know if the person next to them have a problem, the nurses, well, they will be most likely working with the government. But I told you once, I don't work with the government. Our policemen in trouble all the time. They go to a crime, they don't know who they are, and they can't tell everybody leave. Correct. But they want information. Mm-hmm. What I believe, Mr. Johnson, the time has come when we should sit down as a people, both the white, the black, the Indian, all of us sit down as a people, and decide how can we be more balanced and fair in wealth distribution in this country, so that when crises like these come, everybody will be prepared to put the hand in without fear of failure and make sure that it's success. That's really what I want to say, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, sir, and thank you for sharing with us. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you doing?
I'm good. And you?
Okay. Well, not too bad. Mm-hmm. I'm a regular listener to the program, but I really don't call. You know, I just like to listen. But I want to take a different spin. And, you know, we've been talking about coronavirus for the last couple of months. And, you know, I see coronavirus as one of the problems. And I agree with Mohammed Nassar just now, in that the people who are at the, you know, who are at risk most is the workers. Mm-hmm. But Corleone, I think last week, made a point where he talked about, you know, our citizens need to become more financially educated. This brings me to my point. Now, we're talking about financial education, and we're talking about the average individual being able to create an income outside of their jobs, or to create wealth, because some people see creation of wealth as only, you know, for a certain minority, and I'm not going to get into that. But I tried to make a transaction. Now, I was involved in cryptocurrency for, I think, 2017. And, you know, because I look for ways, Mohammed Nassar talked about taking risk, but you're looking for investment opportunities. Now, the average person can't get into things like real estate because land is expensive, real estate building costs is expensive. So not any individual can get into real estate and make money. So that's one asset class, which is excluding the majority. You talk about the other asset class is gold and silver. Again, not, you know, we can't access it because we probably can't get it, and we probably can't get it into the island and store it. Now, you know, we've been talking about coronavirus. You know, no one today, we talk about financial education. If you look in terms of anybody coming to this on this program and ask, okay, what are real world solutions? What are the things that where the world is headed? And for instance, and I want to talk about blockchain technology. Most people would only hear about Bitcoin. But blockchain technology, you know, a couple years ago, the banks and all these institutions were, you know, trying to, you know, get the average individual to stay away from it. Yet these large institutions today, in January 2021, are now the biggest investors in the same Bitcoin that they were telling people is worthless and you should not invest in it. And they're trying to protect. Here I am in 2021, trying to do a transaction, which I was doing now for the last 2 years with my credit card, in trying to purchase some cryptocurrency. And the transaction was blocked. I called the bank, the institution. I asked the question, why was this transaction blocked? Because I have done many transactions with the same card, you know, to purchase cryptocurrency because I'm growing my money. It makes no sense for me that if I have extra liquidity to keep it in a bank, because the banks are not paying any interest, and that's so far, I am losing by saving money. So here I am, an average individual trying to create wealth. Now, the first response to me is central bank legislation. Now, this morning I had a discussion with another person with the bank that says, I don't think it's central bank. I think it's the local bank registration. So, you know, how can we as average black people or average people who want to create wealth, who want to grow their income, yet we are hindered because it's either the central bank or it's either the local bank who is limiting us from creating the same wealth. And my question is, you know, what is the purpose of the bank? Is it the purpose of the bank only? Because Muhammad Nassar talked about this many times over this program, where when average young black entrepreneurs try to go to bank to get money to start up an enterprise or to invest in a business, the bank sees majority of us as risk. However, if we want to go and buy a $100,000 car, or we want to go and get a mortgage, or we want to go and get land, none of these things are creating cash flow, by the way. Because, you know, we look at homes and things as asset premium fully. A home is a liability if it's not generating cash. It's one of the biggest liabilities. So it's a life that is marketed to the average individual.
So I want you to hold, because it's a discussion that I hope we can have when we come back from the latest, from a couple of reasons, because I want to ask you about the monetary side of the transfer. How did the bank get reimbursed, whether you were transferring funds from one entity to another, that kind of thing, whether the restrictions placed on that end, because having worked on the back end of it, I know sometimes how those problems can be created. Now, on the question of giving loans and the reasons why, that's another interesting topic that I'd like to have a discussion with you on. So if you have the time, hold. If you don't have the time, call back as soon as the news break is finished to save you, you know, in case you're paying for this call. And we can have this discussion, because I think it's going to be an interesting one going forward, depending on how we face that particular challenge that you raise. 4341790, the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can also reach us at WhatsApp 466-4862, or you can send an email to brassstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout, the technical operator, producer. I'm Dennis Johnson, your host. I hope my caller is still back online, but before I get to that caller, there are a couple of things I wanted to throw on the table. One is about flu. I don't usually complain about personal issues with service providers. I usually take up my issue with them personally, but this one has me a little bit peeved because I didn't like the response, one, and two, I am not sure I'm the only person with it. Sometime in November or December, I got a bill for a fairly large amount for my flow account. It was an unusual amount, and I queried it. I got a note from Flow that said they had done systems upgrades, and during the months of September, October, I suppose November, the incorrect bills would have been sent out, but that this was not a duplication of any bill I had already paid, and that was the amount. I got a bill 2 days ago from Flo that showed my bill was $154.90-something, minus $211.50-plus to adjust it, and a new balance of $99.00. Now, how on earth do you subtract $211 from $194 and get $99? I looked at the bill. I looked at it back, front, upside down. I looked at it with a magnifying glass, with my glasses on and my glasses off. I tried pure maths, applied maths, parallelograms, everything that I had learned in algebra, geometry, and mathematics, arithmetic. I used my fingers and a calculator, and I still can't get 154 minus 211 coming to 99. But then I guess I am not flowing properly. But anyhow, my head is not what it used to be, old age and gray. The second one is this issue of CXC and lawsuits. Former President Bush of the United States is reported to have said, "What is our children learning?" I understand the anxiety. I understand the distress. I understand all of that because there are people who base their worth on how much paper they have acquired while being at school. And I don't dissuade them from doing so. That's going to get them through. Go ahead. I have 3 children. They've all benefited from higher education. I have not. I wish them the best, and I've supported them in what they did. But here's the thing. I tried to tell them that not every stumbling block or everything that does not turn out the way you want it makes you a failure. I also tried to tell them that life is full of disappointments and you have to learn how to face it and how to get over it. I also tried to teach them that I'll not always be there to catch them when they fall. I have tried to say to the ladies with whom I've shared their upbringing, leave them, let them stump their toes. Let them feel the pain and the hurt. Let them come to me crying, because I stumped my toe already. I could tell them it can hurt. I will try to stop them. But are we teaching our children that everything will be solved by a lawsuit? Are we? But anyway, that's just my thought.